I think when you focus on your strengths, you look for things that help feed those strengths instead of avoiding those things that you're not good at. And if you start with that mindset, in my opinion, you're going to find a better job. You're going to find a better school. You're going to find a better relationship, and you're going to be part of a better family if you focus on those things and you really prioritize those things while putting on the back end, making sure you have those systems in place so that you don't drive people crazy.
In my role, I have to find my ADHD or strengths, and I keep rewarding that. I catch them mid-act. I walk in and, oh my gosh, thank you for putting everything away. He's a grown adult, but still, we all want to hear all the things we've done well.
I'm Debbie Reber, and welcome to Tilled Parenting, a podcast featuring interviews and conversations aimed at inspiring, informing, and supporting parents raising differently wired kids. I have been a longtime fan of Kim and Penn Holderness, as I love to consume and share their funny music videos, blogs, and skits. And in more recent years, it's been exciting to see them talking openly and with humor and authenticity about Penn's ADHD and how together Kim and Penn navigate their marriage and raising kids in a mixed neurotype household. All that to say, I loved having a chance to sit down with Kim and Penn to talk about their brand new book, which comes out next week, called ADHD is Awesome, A Guide to Mostly Thriving with ADHD, which they wrote because they are on a mission to reboot how we think about ADHD by taking us inside their ADHD world with all the highs, the lows, and the moments in between. I think what I loved most about their book and this conversation is that Kim and Penn are real and open about how beautiful and, yes, messy it can be to navigate life as a person with ADHD or as someone married to an ADHDer. And so in today's conversation, that's what we hear about, how Penn has learned to hack himself to manage his ADHD-related challenges, the ways in which ADHD has enriched their family life, and how Kim has reframed her thinking and approach to support Penn's executive function challenges and be what they call an ADHD whisperer, while also taking care of her own emotional and mental well-being. If you're not familiar with Kim and Penn Holderness, they've been married for 16 years, and for 7 of those, they've chronicled their marriage and their family with their music videos, skits, and a podcast. Their videos have resulted in over 1 billion views. And if you haven't seen them before, after listening to this episode, I highly recommend you go to their Instagram or YouTube and check out some of their content. Kim and Penn's first book together, Everybody Fights, is about how couples can fight better and end arguments feeling closer, more loved, and better understood. And that came out in 2021. The book we're talking about today, ADHD is Awesome, comes out April 30th. I really enjoyed putting together this episode and reading Penn and Kim's new book, so I'm so excited to share it with you. Let's dive in. Well, hey, Kim and Penn, welcome to the podcast.
Hi. Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this conversation. I've wanted to have you on the show for a while. And then I got word of your new book, ADHD is Awesome, coming out. And I thought it was the perfect opportunity to bring you on to talk about you guys, your dynamic, how you navigate a relationship with ADHD. We have a lot of listeners, adults who are ADHD, who will get a lot out of this, and then talk about your new book. So as a way to get started, I would love if you could tell us about your collaboration for this book, how this book came together, how you knew it was the next book that you had to write together.
Well, you write the book you need, right? I think I needed this book. I think Kim needed this book. And I also kind of think the world needs this book. Specifically me, I needed this book because I had graduated from being married without kids to being married with kids to being married with kids and working predominantly with my wife. And it started to put some tax on my executive functioning. And while I thought I had all of the systems in place that I needed to be successful and to thrive as someone with ADHD, it became abundantly clear that I needed a refresher course. And a big part of that was doing a dive on what ADHD really is. I don't know that I ever fully understood it. I like to say that the definition of ADHD is a little ADHD. Like, it's kind of all over the place. The reason I think that the world needed this book is because when we started putting content out about ADHD, we got a lot of admissions that this is tough. This brings me shame. Thank you for saying this. No one ever talks about the good parts and the energetic parts of ADHD. And we do believe that it has wonderful upsides. However, as I said, I needed to work on managing some of my downsides so that I did not drive my wife crazy.
I'm the type of person where if I have a name for something or I can better understand it, it just helps explain it. And we say in our family, ADHD is an explanation, not an excuse. But just me, as somebody who does not have ADHD, knowing the explanation of why leaving the stove on, like, it didn't even enter his working memory that he had turned the stove on in the morning when he was doing 5 different things to get the kids out of the door. It didn't even enter his working memory. So turning it off is going to be hard. And it was so incredibly frustrating. And I'm sure people can sympathize finding keys in the refrigerator or driving away and seeing his coffee mug on top of the car again. How can you not know how to do these things? Now I understand his brain better. Our friend, Dr. Emily King, she has this saying that they aren't trying to make the world difficult. The world is difficult for them. And so it just helped me understand it. Do I still get frustrated? Absolutely. But now just understanding how his brain works, it's helped so much.
I wanted to talk about the context in which the book is coming out, because we know that I started Tilt Parenting, it's been 8 years now, and just the neurodiversity movement has really changed in awareness, and so many adults are self-identifying or being diagnosed, going through this process with their kids. And so when you wrote the book and put it out there, was it in part with those adults in mind, people who are really like, oh, this is connecting the dots for me, and I don't even know how to navigate it?
I think that's a big part of it. Right. I think we have had quite a few people say, oh, you are describing me. And it's a fact that adults are massively underdiagnosed for a couple of reasons. Number one, many of us, when we were kids, this wasn't a thing. I didn't know what it was until I was in college.
They just called him a space cadet.
Right. And it's not like I just got ADHD when I was older. I mean, I think you believe this as well. You either have it or you don't. It's the way your brain's wired. It's not a behavioral trait, which is another thing a lot of people don't understand. Women are super misdiagnosed, and not just because they haven't heard of ADHD, because women have been, from the time they were girls, been expected to internalize their difficulties and their differences and sit still and be quiet. And, you know, boys will be boys. So those were a little bit easier to get diagnosed. And so, yeah, the adults are very much in mind, in particular women, also minorities who are underdiagnosed, if you look up the data, because they're all feeling a lot of shame right now. And they're wondering, okay, what's wrong with me? Am I just incapable of doing this? So I think the knowledge in the book and in what you do as well, I think it's going to help people realize that, A, they can get systems in place to get through it, but also maybe even more importantly, B, they're not alone.
Yeah. And Kim, you wrote in the book a note about the fact that you sometimes get responses from people who are watching your content who deny that ADHD is a thing. And that was one of my huge frustrations.
ADHD deniers.
Yeah, right. And I'd love to know a little bit more about your awareness and understanding. I know, Penn, that you were identified as ADHD in college. So presumably you knew this going into your relationship, but in terms of your own, like, this is actually, a real thing. What did that look like?
I have to say, everything that I love or fell in love with on our first date, everything I loved about Penn was his ADHD brain. I didn't have the name for it because we grew up during the same time. It wasn't a diagnosis that was often used. I didn't understand it at all, but it also wasn't worrisome. I mean, but if you list the things that I called my mom and told her, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just went on this date with this guy. He's hilarious and so spontaneous and life of the party, had everybody laughing. All of those things are his ADHD. All of those are the magic of his brain. It wasn't even something I was worried about because I was the most important person to him. I didn't realize, oh crap, I've married somebody with ADHD until we had kids. And there was this other living, breathing thing that needed attention. And when I wasn't the only thing he was focusing on, because he actually was the stay-at-home dad. I went back to work after our daughter was born and he stayed home with her. He did such a good job at that because that was he loved it and it was such a special time. But I could see that the daughter was cared for. She was perfect. but nothing like the chaos around everything else. Like, it's so much to manage a small child, an infant especially. And it was fine, but it became obvious that, oh, he cannot spin all of these plates that are required for marrying and parenting and working at the same time.
Maybe you should have been aware on our like third date when you were like, hey, can you take care of my nieces for me?
Oh, that was really funny. Yeah. Well, yeah, we were new and my nieces needed childcare and he stepped in. But anyway, it's fine. He did a great job. They're alive. But that's when it became an issue. That's when it became an issue when we had kids.
Going back a little bit to Penn, I know from hearing your story and reading your book that it was in college and you share in the book how you got that identification. I'm curious to know what you thought about yourself before and after the diagnosis, if that makes sense. You talk about your experiences as a kid and how you were perceived. So I'm just more curious about what did you make that mean? How did you internalize that? And what did it feel like after you got the diagnosis?
My parents did a great job without knowing what ADHD was of, I think, taking a strengths-based approach of raising me, to quote Ned Halliwell, who loves to use that term.
Love Ned.
Yes, love Ned. Which I think was, okay, you're creative. You
got a lot of energy.
Yeah, you're energetic, like using those kind of positive words. So they tried their best, but no, I thought I was a little weird. Like I cried really easily and I couldn't explain why. Like I would flood. And in my brain, telling yourself to stop crying makes it worse, right? There was just nothing I could do to regulate the right way. So I felt a little broken in that sense. I also felt weird that I would just do things, small things, but things without realizing I was doing them. And my friends would be like, why are you doing that? Why do you have a giant ring of saliva from chewing on your shirt like all day? Which apparently I'm learning because I talked about that in a video. Apparently that's like a fairly common ADHD trait that no one really talks about. The tipping point, this is how I knew I was weird. And you brought it up. We were at my grandmother's funeral talking about like the end of this sort of summer trip that we were going to take. And I was very sad and very stressed out because it was my favorite 2 weeks of the entire year. And I was sitting there thinking about all the great times I'd spent with my grandmother. And we were having a serious conversation with our entire family there. And my Aunt Zell, who is like the stereotypical Southern woman who was obviously trying to keep this conversation serious. She's like, Pan, I'm sorry, I can't concentrate with you chewing on that used fly swatter. And I had taken a used fly swatter that had just been used to kill a fly and was chewing on it. Like it was like halfway in my mouth and everyone laughed. I'm glad they laughed, but I had no idea that it was in my mouth. No clue. And so how did I feel? I felt weird. I felt like I couldn't control things that at that point may not have been that important, but obviously were affecting other people if it stopped a very important conversation.
And then once you were like, oh, this is what's going on. There's a reason. I imagine it wasn't like a light switch, like suddenly it all came together and you felt great about it. Did you have a process to really embrace? Because you have such a positive, strengths-based approach and you really lean into all of who you are. Did that happen right away?
It didn't happen right away because the doctor gave me the original Driven to Distraction book and I put it in the back of my car and I never read it because I have ADHD. Like doctors, when they give you a book, they need to be like, okay,
we're going to meet after chapter one and have a discussion.
Or here's the video. Like, I don't know, like one of those two
you
things.
You just wrote a book, dude.
I know. Well, see, our book is a little more colorful.
We do have a lot of color.
It's more of like a textbook vibe.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know that I took the most holistic route when we first got started because I got on medication and the medication certainly helped. I only used it for about a year because I felt like it made me a slightly different person. And this is not to dog on medication. I know there's a lot of people who really benefit from it, but it was a Band-Aid that got me through the last year in college. So the realization was very gradual. And the biggest realizations haven't been until the last few years when we really started researching. I think it was always just a Band-Aid. Finding the job that I found was a Band-Aid. Like being a creator is the most ADHD friendly job ever, Kim. Don't you think like most or definitely a majority of people who do what we do probably have some level of ADHD or this type of brain? It took the deep dive into really understanding it until the light switch got flicked on.
Well, that's really helpful. Thank you for sharing that. I want to talk about a couple of the chapters in your book, but we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to talk about Operation Mindset Shift.
I'm on the road this month, and oh man, am I missing my sweet kitties Haskell and Lua. They've been a part of our family for more than 2 years, and I'm so grateful they're keeping Darren such good company while I'm away. If you're getting a new pet soon, you're probably already thinking about everything you'll need to buy. Food, toys, a cozy bed, doggy bags or litter boxes. Something you may not be thinking about, though, is pet insurance. That's why you should check out ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/parenting. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/parenting. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/parenting. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. This year, I've been working on becoming more attuned to my body, and so I'm starting to really recognize how periodic spikes in anxiety or disruptions to my routines can seriously throw my whole system off. And as I've been traveling a ton this past month, which is both disruptive and somewhat stressful, I'm especially glad that I have the extra support of Symbiotic Plus, a 3-in-1 supplement from Ritual with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome. Symbiotic Plus provides fuel to the cells that make up the gut lining to support a healthy gut barrier, and it comes in this very cool minty delayed-release capsule, which was specifically designed to help survive the harsh conditions of the upper GI tract for delivery to the colon. The bonus is that the capsules don't need to be refrigerated, so I can easily bring them with me in my carry-on. On a personal level, I love that Ritual is committed to sustainability. They're a female-founded B Corp, meaning they are holding themselves accountable long-term to not only think about their company's financial health, but also the health of people and our planet. There's no more shame in your gut game. Symbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide your insides. Get 25% off your first month for limited time at ritual.com/tilt. Start Ritual or add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/tilt for 25% off.
One of the chapters that I loved in the book, and also just to speak to what you just mentioned about the design, it is such a fun read. I used to write books for teens, and I always have loved the kind of more magazine-y format. I think that way too. I think in bullet points, I think in little sidebars and call-outs and graphics. And so it is a very friendly and engaging book. So just want to throw that out there.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was the point. We wanted to make sure it was formatted for the ADHD brain. And
a lot of credit to Kim on that. Yeah. She fought back. Like, getting a publisher to print in color is...
it's a lot of money. It was, yeah, a lot of arm wrestling, but I think everybody is very happy with it.
Yeah. Well done. Well done. So there's a chapter that I loved called Operation Mindset Shift. And you have something called the Reframe Game. This is something we talk a lot about at Tilt Parenting, is reframing those like relative weaknesses into potential strengths and just looking at every potential weakness as well. There's also a flip side to that. So for example, instead of hyper, you reframe it as energetic. Instead of misfit, you reframe it as one of my favorite words, nonconformist. Risk-taking is now bravery. As I'm reading this, at my senior pool in high school, I was voted, among other things, class clown and best excuse maker. I was like, okay, for me, it would be creator of alternative possibilities is what I came up with. I just love that so much. And I'm curious to know from both of your perspectives, what reframe personally has been the most powerful for you? So for you, Penn, and for you, Kim, in the way that you perceive or experience Penn.
Oh my gosh. This is a good one. Okay, you go first, Penn.
I mean, hyper and energetic. That was a big one for me because I'd been called hyper most of my life, at least at certain times, sometimes times when I shouldn't act that way. And energy is good. You know, it may not be what everyone else does. It may not be how everyone else does it, but even fidgeting. Do you know this? Do you know fidgeting burns 500 calories a day?
Yeah. So
it's the new keto. It's the new Ozempic.
No, I would say, and this has to do more with my parenting journey with this. We were careful about how we talk about this, but my son, who it has my husband's brain and is wildly creative and empathetic and just all checks all the boxes, he talks very quickly. And sometimes we're like, okay, buddy, slow it down, smooth it out, because he's trying to get to the punchline so fast. And it's always so funny, but I've had to reframe in my head. It's because his brain is firing so fast. He has a Ferrari brain. And his mouth is yet to catch up with that. But instead of saying, oh, my kid, I can't understand anything he's saying, it's everything is firing so fast. And once the rest of it catches up, it's going to be amazing.
What was it that Ned said?
A Ferrari brain on a bicycle with bicycle brakes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah. And that helped me too. I'm like, oh, he has a Ferrari inside that head of his. And he's in his mind, he's three sentences ahead of what's coming out of his mouth. I know it because I live with it, but I'm also aware of we meet people and he's excited to meet people. And I'm like, okay, yeah, bring it down.
And then March Madness.
Oh, really, and then you talk about college basketball. Yeah, and it's
trouble.
Like, buddy,
big trouble.
Yeah, yeah. Bring it down.
I love the metaphors. I think that Ned's metaphor, it is so helpful to keep in mind, especially with kids who they're wired differently from us and their behavior can be so perplexing and we can't make sense of it. I'm just thinking of my kiddo who's now 19, ADHDer, who I really had to work on the interruptions. And my husband too was like, would get so frustrated. And so just to even reframe, it's like, oh, you're so excited. Like, I can tell you have a lot you want to say, you know, and even just thinking of how to say, can you hold that thought while I finish my thought, or I'm going to lose my train of thought, but I really want to hear what you have to say. That was huge, instead of being frustrated or annoyed with those interruptions.
And it's hard not to be annoyed, right? Yeah. And it's because you have something you're trying to get out. And even with my sweet husband, we've learned about kinetic interruptions because he has gotten better about not interrupting, but you can see he wants to say something and he's like moving around. Like he's like, I have something I want to say and it's so good.
But there's a difference between kinetic and non-kinetic interruptions. I'm doing a kinetic interruption right now. That's when you yes and continue the thought and then allow the other person.
But then he's like moving around, like, oh, he's squirming. So we're aware of those as well.
Deer are really weird animals. No. That's a non-kinetic interruption.
Okay.
See, that was bad.
But when he's physically moving around, just like wanting to say something, and yeah, we're working on it.
Yeah. And you notice that. I just want to give a shout out to Ned Hollowell as well. You guys refer to him in the book a bunch. He's amazing. We've had him on the show. Listeners, go back and listen to that episode with Ned if you haven't listened to it. It was a great conversation. I think we talked about his ADHD 2.0 book, which was fantastic. But he is so focused on strengths. And so I'd love to know a little bit more about what focusing on strengths has meant for you personally and as a parent, just encouraging your kiddos to focus on their strengths in the way that their brains are wired.
Well, for me, I think when you focus on your strengths, you look for things that help feed those strengths instead of avoiding those things that you're not good at. And if you start with that mindset, in my opinion, you're going to find a better job, you're going to find a better school, you're going to find a better relationship, and you're going to be part of a better family if you focus on those things and you really prioritize those things while putting on the back end, making sure you have those systems in place so that you don't drive people crazy.
I don't think you have to have ADHD to realize when I get a compliment on something. I had a third grade teacher who said, you're a good writer. And now look what I do for a living. And I hear I'm good at something and I just want to keep doing that. So what in my role, I have to find my ADHD or strengths and I keep rewarding that. I catch them mid-act. I walk in and, oh my gosh, thank you for putting everything away. He's a grown adult, but still, we all want to hear all the things we've done well. Thank you so much for listening to me. I was really concerned about this thing. And thank you so much for really focusing and listening to our conversation with my son last night. Hey, buddy, for the last 5 minutes, we've had this great conversation. I've understood everything you've said and you've not interrupted me. And it was last night. And he said, I'm really working on that, but it's really hard for my brain. But just finding those moments to find the strengths and then reward the work that they're doing, that's been a game changer for us, at least.
Yeah, really important. Another chapter that I loved called The ADHD Upsides for Others, in which you share the ways in which the many traits of ADHD can actually be gifts to everyone, to their communities, to their friendships, to their partners. And I really liked your note, Kim, in their top 10 reasons why having a partner with ADHD doesn't totally suck. I'm wondering if you could share a couple examples. I mean, you talked about when you were dating that you were the focus, but what are some other examples of ways in which Penn's ADHD has actually been a great upside?
Has not sucked.
Has not totally sucked.
Yes. There you go. Yeah.
You know, listen, I know ADHD is like any neurodiversity, there is a spectrum. My guy happens to also have, he has ADHD, but he's also an extrovert. So that pairs well with my introverted, anxiety-ridden self. So the fact that he can walk into a room and jump into any conversation, because of his hyper-focus, he knows a lot of random crap, because he will go down a rabbit hole on moon phases. And so we will walk into conversations and I literally am just along for the ride and I just bandwagon it. I think that there has not been a dinner in our house. We have teenagers. And so sometimes dinners are at random times and it's kind of grabby. But every time we're sitting around the table with each other, he's invented a new game. Hey, okay, top 10 reasons why. And it's just getting our brains working. There's always so much laughter. And sometimes I sit there as somebody who grew up, my house was fine growing up. Like we were all fine. There's nothing to complain about. But it was not as much fun. Dinner times were not something I look forward to. And he's created a space in which our teenagers love sitting with us at dinner, because there's always random things this man comes up with. So I think it's been a gift to sort of witness that, as somebody who did not grow up in an environment like that at all, just seeing how the spontaneity and the creativity manifests itself in daily life.
That's great. And having teens who enjoy coming to the dinner table, I know, is not easily achieved by many families. So that's awesome. I want to talk about a few other things in your book. Specifically, I want to touch upon some of your best hacks for both of you. I want to hear from both of you, but we're going to take a quick break. If you listen to this show, you probably know that at least 1 in 5 children is differently wired. But did you know that approximately 1 in 2 women will experience hair thinning? If you're part of that 50%, you are absolutely not alone. But because hair thinning for women isn't something people openly talk about, going through it can feel lonely and frustrating. So why not do something about it with Nutrafol? Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Everyone's root causes of hair thinning are different, so a one-size-fits-all approach to hair growth isn't going to cut it. Nutrafol has multiple formulas tailored to give your hair what it needs to grow throughout different stages, postpartum, menopause, even for different lifestyles like a plant-based diet. To get your personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes, you can take a simple hair wellness quiz on Nutrafol.com. And because there's no prescription required, you can quickly get set up online with free shipping and automated deliveries, which make it so much easier to stick with your new hair care routine. See results in 3 to 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code TILT. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code TILT. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code TILT. Hey there, it's Debbie. I love making this show and sharing conversations about how to support our awesome neurodivergent kids. I've seen how even one little insight from an interview can spark a big shift in daily life. But I know that raising complex kids can be messy and lonely. And just when we think we figured it out, something comes up that boots us right back to feeling overwhelmed and stuck. That's why I've poured everything into creating a way for parents like us navigating complex parenting journeys to join together and chart a path that feels positive, hopeful, and doable. It's the brand new Differently Wired Club experience.
In the club, you'll get personal support from me and other seasoned parent coaches, 6 live calls every month where you can connect and get your personal questions answered, the opportunity to learn directly from authors and experts like I have on this show, monthly themes for getting specific and tactical, an exclusive private podcast feed, and the best, most generous community of parents. Seriously, these folks show up for themselves and each other, and that right there is really everything. Because it's a daily reminder that we're not alone, our kids aren't broken, and we have totally got this. The recently rebooted Differently Wired Club is on a brand new platform with its very own iOS and Android app. It is such a great space. However you learn, whatever your style, no matter the ages, genders, and neurodivergent profile of your children, the Differently Wired Club can help you cultivate the positive shifts you're hoping for. Join us today by going to tiltparenting.com/club. That's tiltparenting.com/club. I hope to see you on the inside.
Pen, I know from reading your book that, and you mentioned earlier, you used ADHD meds in college, but you're managing without meds since then. We're not going to talk about meds. We've discussed it on other episodes. Ned is very open about it too, that they don't work for some people. And it's really important to understand yourself. And that, you know, I think of it as like hacking yourself. So I'm curious to know what a couple of your best hacks for yourself are in the ways that you've like found to best manage some of the more challenging aspects of your ADHD.
Yeah, I always say this overarchingly, and most importantly, when I look at hacks, like those are, like you said, a way to hack yourself. You need to do them one at a time. You need to implement them one at a time. You also need to prioritize them, not based on what you need, but how it's affecting the people around you. I firmly believe this, because if you're going to be in a relationship, like Kim justifiably is irritated by some of my ADHD behavior. Some of it is stuff that I am surprised it bothers her, because my brain is built differently. Like I crumble up my napkins.
Oh my gosh, just crumble up dinner. Napkins in front of us, by the way.
Well, that was because I shaved half of my face off this morning. Okay. I play with my silverware. I fidget. I stand up and I leave the chair out and I don't push it back in. I leave the stove on. I leave my keys in the car.
There's a lot.
I ask her to make lists for me and she doesn't. I'm a grown man. She doesn't want me to do that. That's a lot, right? But if she had to rank from 1 to 5, what she is worried about the most, the top 3 for her are going to be, don't make me a list. You're a grown man. Don't leave the burner on. You're going to burn down the house. Don't leave the keys in the car. Our car is going to get stolen and people are going to use the garage to open. So like general safety issues mixed with another, like you're a grown man. I just wanted to give that little TED talk really quickly before I answer your question. For the list, if you have ADHD, all you have to do is put a little box next to everything that you have on the list. And then when you check it off, it feels really good. Make a list and put a little box next to it.
A little
mini dopamine hit for you right there. So lists are good for us getting back home mentally to what it is that we're doing so that we're not wandering too far off. For the keys in the car, I have a song that I sing called Glasses, Wallet, Keys, and Phone. Keeps all my stuff together.
Should you sing it?
It's just glasses, wallet, keys and phone. Yeah, it's all you need. I'm a huge fan of cargo pants. This has been met with resistance by some fashionistas that we've spoken to, which is okay.
I think the cargo shorts are just not the look, but we have found a brand of shorts that has zippered pockets.
Yeah.
So that's better than the cargo shorts.
I think you want to keep things on your person at all times, because as soon as they leave your person, they exit your working memory, and that's trouble. Mm-hmm. I have several hacks.
And the magnet on top
for
of the car.
Oh yeah. So I put crap on top of my car all the time when I'm getting ready to put other stuff in my car. And I just have a magnet on top of my car. The magnet doesn't hold anything. It's just a reminder. It's a little note, like don't leave stuff on top of the car. And so that's been really useful.
Although you did leave something on the top of Lola's car.
Yeah, but it doesn't have a magnet on top of
her. And she goes, Dad, you left a plate on top of my car. And
yeah.
How did that happen?
Because she asked me to put stuff in the car for her, and I was holding a plate. the biggest hack in the last year has been, thanks to Siri, just telling my phone to set an alarm and a timer every time I turn the stove on, because the gas stove won't turn itself off. It just keeps on going. And I know a lot of ADHDers who have struggled with this, just turning the stove back off. So I set the alarm for however long I think I'm going to be cooking, and I leave the phone with me at all times. And since then, I've not left the stove on. So that's been nice.
That's great. As you're saying that too, I'm thinking of technology is so helpful for people.
It can be.
It can. Yeah. It can be really distracting.
Yes, but I have a friend, a colleague in this space, and every time we're Zooming, there's like this alarm going off or this, and Siri's saying this, and Alexa's saying this. But those, when used well, can be really helpful tools. Thank you for sharing some of those hacks. Very interesting. And I like kind of getting a little glimpse into your world. Kim, I have the same question for you. So you write in the book about ways that you anticipate some of Penn's needs and support that executive functioning, which is something so many parents are their kids' prefrontal cortex for much of their life. You have a chapter called How to Be an ADHD Whisperer in the book, which was also awesome. So I'm just wondering, what are some of your best hacks for best showing up for and supporting Penn in a way that feels good for you and for both of you?
The first thing was so hard for me to wrap my head around because my Enneagram style, I hate this label, but I'm a perfectionist, which is
what makes you a perfectionist.
Don't love that label, but I tend to see the world in black and white, and it's very simple. You turn on the stove. Why wouldn't you turn off the stove? So for my guy and for my son, they feel shame when they screw up. And they don't need me to pile on. Before I did the deep dive into understanding this brain, I will admit that I was not particularly kind. So the stove gets slept on. Are you kidding me? You're going to burn down the house? Like, he was already in tears about it. So the advice that was given to me that has worked is offering comfort, offering connection, not criticism. And for my brain that is so quick to criticize, offering that connection and that comfort has been huge, I think. So if it's not, hey, babe, it's fine. Don't worry about it. It's just your ADHD. That's not it. I'm not saying you have an excuse to act like this. I'm saying, wow, that really sucks. I'm sorry that happened. That really sucks. And just being a safe space for that, it sounds so simple, but for me, it was not. And another thing is finding those moments to praise, finding those moments as another way to offer connection. Penn is a grown man. I'm not going to make his list. I will review his list if we have, if we're hosting a party. He'll say, hey, this is what I'm thinking needs to happen. Can you check it out? Absolutely, I'm there. For my son, he's 14. It is my job to help him learn how to do these, to put these systems in place. And very simply, and your audience probably knows this, I can't tell them five things to do unless they're written down. So it's not this morning, it wasn't eat breakfast, put on your shoes, get your homework. Did you bring your basketball? Like, I can't say those five things in a row. And I almost killed him this morning. While my son was trying to eat breakfast, he had him fill out his NCAA like college basketball bracket. Our son is not going to eat if you put something of great interest in front of him. So I had to take it away. I'm saying, we do one thing at a time. But to him, the most important thing was the brackets because, you know, the game start.
Right.
So
I don't see the problem here.
So
we're talking about March Madness. He's got to get a bracket filled out.
I know, but I needed him to eat.
I know.
So it's the one thing at a time approach.
That's helpful. Those competing interests can be really hard. But even as you were talking about the things that you have changed or the ways that you accommodate and support Penn, your tone changed too. Like, I can tell that it feels better for you to be empathetic, to have done this reframe. The way you're looking at each other, am I getting that right?
No, she noted the change in tone.
Nice. That's nice. I mean, we've been in marriage counseling, y'all. Like, we've worked on this.
Yeah. And I do want to say this, like you mentioned the Enneagram. And so just like my ADHD helps explain some things and she needs to have grace on that. Like I need to understand that she is wired differently as well. She is a perfectionist and she married a guy with ADHD. So I also have to listen to, respect everything that she says, but take sometimes the tone with a grain of salt because you're wired to expect greatness. And that's fine. That's fine.
Like greatness, but just
perfection.
My brain works best with order. His brain excels in disorder.
That's true.
And we have met so many couples who have the same dynamic.
Yeah.
I've been very open. I have been diagnosed. I went to a psychiatrist, diagnosed with an anxiety and a little touch of OCD.
Little smidge?
A little sprinkled on top. And we have met so many people with one has anxiety and one has ADHD. Something about the pairing just worked.
Yeah, there's something in the very early stages that
is exciting.
That is exciting and cool and like different. Opposites attract. What's her name said it? Paula Abdul.
Paula Abdul said
that. Yeah.
The great Paula Abdul.
As the great psychiatrist Paula Abdul said, opposites attract. I could not be luckier as a husband. But it is interesting that those things attract. And then I think later on in life, we have to learn, both of us, how to manage them.
Well, like, well, crap, we're here. Got to make this work.
But don't you think the best way is talking about it? Like, that's something that we've been able to do.
Absolutely.
Also, just to put it out there, it's so much more interesting. I mean, I talk with my community about this all the time. Like, if we were raising neurotypical kids,
boring,
you know, boring, where would the growth happen? Like, we are as parents really forced to dig deep and examine ourselves and grow individually. And I think what you're describing too, like that dynamic between these two neurotypes, it really demands. And if you're willing to put in the work and show up, it can lead to such a more fulfilling relationship.
I agree. Put that on a t-shirt. Yeah. I mean, it's a little long for a t-shirt, but I think it should be a t-shirt.
Very small print.
Very small print.
Very small print. As a way of wrapping up, I'd love to just touch upon the title of your book. It is called ADHD is Awesome, A Guide to Mostly, in parentheses, Thriving with ADHD. You define the word awesome right in the very beginning. And I just think that it's important to do because you're not saying everything's great. Can you talk about why you wanted to use that title and what it means in context with the book?
Yes. Thank you for asking. First of all, it's a fun little just trip down Webster's dictionary lane where you can learn that the definition of awesome is not just great and fantastic, as you just said, but also extremely impressive or daunting. Inspiring great admiration, apprehension, or fear. That is the definition of awesome. We have been using it in mostly one way as a group, as the world, for quite some time. The truth is, it just means something bigger than you, right? Which can either make you inspired, it can make you scared. ADHD does all of those things, I think. However, I'm fine if people want to focus on the positive side, the strengths-based side of it, which is it's great. ADHD, Dr. Halliwell was right. Once you manage the systems on the weak side, right, the strong side can be spectacular. The world would be a boring place without all of us. And so ADHD needs a rebrand as it is because the name is so awful. We don't have a deficit of attention. We have plenty of attention. Many of us are not hyperactive. Sometimes we're inattentive. Disorder just sounds mean. I mean, we've renamed a lot of other things. Autism spectrum disorder wasn't called what it was called 15 years ago. And so we felt that ADHD needed a little bit of a rebrand in that sense. And so calling it awesome, even though some people may say, oh, it's not awesome. I go through this like really daily struggle. It can be.
I appreciate your question because we do get plenty of comments giving us basically the middle finger,
sure,
saying, I've just lost my job. I can't keep relationships. It's the opposite of awesome. And I don't want to hit these sweet souls back with the actual definition, but it is something that we wanted to include because there are plenty of times when ADHD is pure trash and something that is very daunting to take on.
Yeah, I just appreciate you saying that. I mean, again, that's a big reason why I started Tilt Parenting was because I felt like this is a club I do not want to be in because all the languaging and messaging about my experience sucks. Like it feels terrible. It feels like I drew the short straw. So I do think everything needs a rebranding. And so I really appreciate the book that you're putting out into the world and being a vocal leader in that movement. Before we say goodbye, anything we didn't touch upon that you would want my listeners to know? And then I'm sure people know where to find you. I'll have that in the show notes page, but anything you want them to engage with?
We have the advanced copies of the book, the ones that are in color, and those were on our kitchen table last night. And my sweet son, we're never going to make our kids watch our content or engage with anything. And I found him in bed last night reading it. And
did you not ask him to?
I did not ask
him. Oh, wow.
Him to. And he was reading it.
He's just a good kid.
He is just a sweet kid. And he said, is it okay? It just took me. He goes, I'm a very slow reader because sometimes I have to read things a couple times. I said, hey, there's no contest here. We obviously recorded the audio for it too. So his idea is he wants to play the audio as he's reading it because he goes, I just want to make sure it really gets into my brain. And I just like, he's like, he wants to know more about his brain. And it just, even if nobody reads this book, but my son, I'm so proud of you, Penn, for putting this into the world because it's like a love letter. And I'm just so excited for people to read it and know more about it.
That's very sweet. I have nothing further.
That is a very sweet story. And as I was reading it too, yeah, my kiddo doesn't like to read a lot in this space, but I was like, I'm definitely handing this book over.
And the idea is that you could say, hey, this, just read this like infographic.
Yeah.
You could jump in and hand a, I thought, or like a, put a post-it note during this chapter and you could sort of jump in. Is yeah. Kind of how I thought it could happen with kids.
Yeah. And this is a podcast. So I will mention one more thing because you can't see what we're talking about, but there's great illustrations from Sarah Kempa, who works at The New Yorker. She's incredibly creative. She made this little like brain mascot for us. And they're simple illustrations. They're not over the top. Yeah, it's very rainbow colored. There are post-it notes all over the place, which is just, I just went ahead and put them there because I felt like sometimes people with ADHD will read the post-it notes easier than they'll read the actual stuff. So there's a lot of post-it notes in there and just ways to give your brain a break over time. You're not going to get 8 pages of heavy text. There's going to be diversions. And so that was, again, this was Kim.
Well, it was help.
This was, well, but it was your brainchild saying, look, this has to be color. Mm-hmm. This has to feel like we used, I think, John Stewart's America, this great, great sort of fake textbook that The Daily Show did as a way to engage people all the way through the book. And so we just got this color copy last night and we're over the moon joyed. We're over the joy.
We're over the joy.
Yeah, we're over it.
I just want to say thank you so much. I so enjoyed this conversation. I appreciate you taking the time and putting this out into the world. I know what it takes to write a book. It's a huge lift and this is such a gift to all of us. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And thank you for what you do.
Yeah.
For having this corner that's very specific, well, to a lot of things, but particularly ADHD.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Tilt Parenting Podcast. To learn more about today's guest and the resources we talked about, check out the extensive show notes page on Tilt Parenting. There you'll find key takeaways, links to all the resources mentioned, and even a full transcript of our conversation. Just go to tiltparenting.com/podcast and select this episode. If you're looking for personal support from me and connection with the phenomenal community of parents raising neurodivergent kids, join us in the recently rebooted Differently Wired Club. The new Differently Wired Club can help you cultivate the positive shifts you're hoping for. Go to tiltparenting.com/club to learn more. The Tilt Parenting Podcast is hosted by me, Debbie Reber, author of Differently Wired and the founder of Tilt Parenting, and was edited by Andrea Curtis Amasquita. To support this show, please join my Patreon campaign where you can set up a small monthly contribution. Just go to patreon.com/tiltparenting to learn more. If you want to follow Tilt on social media, you can find us at Tilt Parenting on Instagram and Facebook. And lastly, please take a minute to leave a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. That helps this show stay visible so others can find it more easily. And that's all for this week. Stay safe, stay well, and take good care. And for more information about any of the parenting resources Tilt offers, visit tiltparenting.com.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. While you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.